Brothers and sisters,
good morning.
God bless you. Good to see everyone. Shall we all stand as we approach the Lord in prayer this morning? Ask Brother Kennedy if he'd lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning.
Again, O God, Lord, we thank you. We praise you this morning, O Father, for your many, many blessings on this new day, for your new mercies, your compassions, O God, for your great faithfulness to each and every one of us, O Lord. Thank you for your strength this morning, O God. Thank you for the showers on the outside, O Lord. Lord, we pray this morning you would send the spiritual showers, O God. We need water, Lord. May you wash our souls this morning, O God. May you touch each and every one, O God. From the youngest child to the eldest adult. May you help us to get ourselves out of the way, especially as servants. That you may use us, O God, for your glory and for your honor. Take control, O God, from hereafter. In all that we say and do and think. Those that are traveling on the roads coming, Lord, may you bring them safely. And those that are not here today, O God, may you watch over them, may you keep them, may you touch their souls, O God, we pray. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. A bit of rain there, if you can adjust that, brothers. Amen. So if we can turn to our Bibles, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Read to verse 7 and then try to continue on from this subject where we left off last time. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Amen. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. So we'd just like to continue on from where we left off last time on the placing of gifts. So this will be part two of placing of gifts. And so just to refresh our memory, we went through the scripture of 1 Corinthians 12 and trying to understand more, a deeper understanding of what God is talking about with gifts and the correct placements and the differences in gifts and how we are all to take our position in the body of Christ. Each one of us has a different gift that God has given to us, and to understand a little bit better how to place that gift or allow God to place that gift. And remember in the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about how the Spirit does the placing for us. We don't do the placing, the Spirit does the placing. So all we have to do is yield ourselves, and the Spirit places us correctly. So we fight against it, then we have a harder time. So, but there's a few areas that I'm just going to kind of read off. I know I went through Christ as the Mystery of God Revealed last time because he's getting us to understand our position, not just understand, but have our position revealed. So we have different roles, as we talked about, fathers, sons, husbands. You know, a man has several different roles. A woman has several different roles, mother, wife, sister, different ones. And so we need to receive the revelation of what our role is and fulfill that role. And clearly understand it. And we know that in the world right now there's a lot of confusion. It's because they don't understand what their role is. They don't even understand what gender they are. They don't understand what their orientation is and different things like that. So it's a mass confusion. It's a deception. But you know, at the same time, when there's more confusion in the world, God's making it clearer and clearer for his people. So it's the law of contrast. As we get closer to the end, there's more confusion on one side, but there's more clarity on the other side till we clearly understand who we are. And so, you know, Paul talks about in the scripture, he says that we see darkly through a glass, but we shall know as we are known. So we will see what God had in his mind for us, not just in a big picture, but in detail. So God wants us to understand. God wants us to have clarity. And if we yield ourselves to him, then he provides that clarity. So one quote that came 1954, God's provided a way of healing that seemed to be something good to talk about, because he talks about the purpose of the gifts. So the purpose, he says, that's what God gave the gifts for, was to magnify him and to unify the people and to bring the body together and to help us to unite our efforts and our prayers. So you can see that the gifts were for the unity. They're to glorify God and to bring unity in the body. So it's all coming under the headship of Christ, because that's what he's been trying to do all these ages, is to bring everything under Christ. And so, the more we try to fight and do our own ways, the longer it's going to take us to get there. But, you know, we just want to be yielded to him as much as possible, as much as we can. Because when everything is aligned up together, there's perfect harmony, perfect order. So now, just to review a little bit, so we talked about how everyone has a unique gift, and you are born with that gift. We talked about the musician and how that little boy was born with that gift, and he didn't need to have lessons. He just had that. You know, people take lessons, but he never had to have one, but yet he could play that instrument very well. We also talked about taking your position where God has placed you, not where he has placed others. And we talked about the different scriptures. We need to be in our lane. We need not compare ourselves with others. Talked about the scripture in Corinthians, how some people compare themselves with other people, and that's not wise, as he says in the scriptures. So we need to look at what God is doing with us specifically. Remember, I think it was Brother Tim Michon who says, you know, Peter said, what about that brother, right? And then Jesus says, you know, don't worry about that brother. You know, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And so that's the same thing for each one of us, that we follow God and what he has called us to, and not look at the other brother, the other sister, what's happening with them. So we need to really measure ourselves against the word of God, and that only. Now, we went through the quote in adoption, and if you remember that, Joshua was placing the people in the land, and he talked about how, you know, Ephraim was supposed to plant corn here, but Manasseh is not supposed to plant corn there. They're supposed to be in their separate areas, right? Now, I'm going to read this a little bit to refresh our memories, because there's one point I would like to emphasize here, if we can, but it says, where the church is now, this is my purpose of doing this. The church is always trying to take somebody else's corner, but don't do that. You can never raise corn in Ephraim's corner if you're Manasseh. You've got to take your place in Christ, positionally take it. Now he says, it gets deep and rich when we get in here, how that God puts one in the church to speak with tongues another. Now we have been taught many times, we all have to speak with tongues. That's wrong. We all got to do it. No, we don't. They all didn't do one thing. Each one was. Now he talks about this. And this is the point just to like to emphasize here. Each, the land was provided and divvied up by inspiration. So remember that Joshua was a type of the Holy Ghost, and he was guiding them into each part of the land. But he says here that each group was put in there by inspiration. And that point right there is very important, because when we have the inspiration, then we have the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so everything must be done by the will of God in what we do. It's not by our own thinking or intellect, but it's God unctioning us into a certain direction. So when God gives us the inspiration, then we start to move in that direction. And those of us who have experienced it many times, when you have that burden upon your heart, when God inspires you, then you begin to drive in a certain direction. And, you know, although Satan tries to put roadblocks in your way, you keep moving in that direction because it's not you, but God is driving you. Do you understand what I'm saying? God puts a burden on our hearts many times because he wants us to fulfill some part of his word or some part of his will. And he puts that on our hearts so that we can fulfill that. But we have to follow that leading. Now, there's many times you look in the Bible, and even Brother Branham's life, that he did not, or others have not followed that leading and what happened. But eventually, God brings him to that. But everything must be done by inspiration. So we're placed not because we think that we should be here or we should do this, but God places us. There's a message called God's gifts always find their places. And so God's gifts will always find their place. We just have to get out of the way and let God do his thing and place us in the appropriate place. It may not happen the way that we think so, but God does everything perfect. And if you remember, I think it was Brother Barry Coffey was talking about that God is revealing himself, but it may not be the way that we think it's going to take place. When Jesus came on earth, it went in a way that people did not expect or think, right? They expected him to come straight out of heaven and come to the Pharisees and say, I'm the Messiah, but he came in a totally different way. And they didn't expect it. And Brother Branham talks about how God moves in an unusual way, but yet he goes along with the scriptures. He moves in a simple, humble way that it just goes right off over the top of people's heads. So we ought not to look at trying to picture in our mind what it is, but let it go by the revelation and the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Now, he talks about this, and Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, remember we talked about the football, right? And a lot of people want to grab the football and run with the football and not protect the man with the football. So that happens in the church because people are comparing themselves and want to take the other's position because maybe that seems like the coveted position. You know, in football, like everybody wants to be the quarterback maybe because, you know, a lot of attention goes to the quarterback, but not everybody's a quarterback because you can't win with everybody being a quarterback. You've got to have running backs. You've got to have wide receivers, blockers, and different things. And they may not get all the glory or attention that the quarterback, but they're required in order to win, right? So not everybody is a pastor, right? If we had all pastors, then how could the body work? I mean, it's just like the scripture says, everybody's an eye, or everybody's, you know, this part of the body, it won't work well. So everything is needed in order for things to function appropriately. I mean, you could not live without your kidney. You need your kidney. That is an essential part, but yet nobody sees the kidney, what it's doing, right? And so, but you need it. And so there's different parts that they may not see, they may not be visible in things, but yet they're there and they're necessary. And they're essential because the body cannot operate unless those are there. So now he says, I'm going to read this part because there's another point of emphasis here. Therefore, if the churches would see that and could believe it in that manner, it wouldn't be one trying to jerk the football away from the other fellow when he's running with it. He would be protecting that one, see? When real, true motive and objective wouldn't be one trying to say, hey, I got this too. I, this is me, this. See, you hear the I. And so there's no I in team, right? And so we are a team. Everybody's fulfilling a different role. See, God can't use a man. There is so much impersonation follows it. And that's Satan. That's why we can't compare with one another. And the people can't realize that they're trying to take the ball from somebody that's been give it. Let God raise up a certain ministry and watch how many goes after it. See, just say, praise God. I'm glad that's happening, right? What can I do to help? And so the attitude of a Christian is, what can I do to help? Not what can I do to stop? And you may not say that, but in the actions, they may prove that. Now, genuine love of God, love for God, no matter what part I am, Lord, if I can only say a word for it, help protect it, let me do that. So that's got to be the attitude. Whatever you need, Lord, if it's to do this job or this job or this job, let me do that. Okay, now we're going to go to where we had left off. Now, we talked about unity brings a gift. If we could only get quietened down away from our differences and become one great united body, God would place those gifts exactly where they belong. Amen. But put it in its place and let it be used exactly the way God intended it to be, it'll bring down the power and blessings of God out of place. It'll cause confusion. So we try to force things and place things, put a square peg in a round hole or vice versa, then it's not going to work. And it's actually going to cause a lot of problems and almost disaster, as we're going to read on here, because everything has got to be done in the timing and in the method that God has. It's got to be God in all of it. Now, he says this, don't ever let a little ism or a little something another, a little bad feeling ever rise up among you. Get it out of the way right now. So that's a little, it's the little fox that spoils the grapes, you know? So keep it out of the way. Any little funny feeling, go and tell the person to it. Say, I'm wrong. I don't feel right towards you or something. Help me to pray over it that I'll get better. How many has had that little funny feeling about somebody? I have. And so, this is telling us to go to that person. And I've done that because, you know, and if we follow the word, everything works out exactly fine. You know, the funny feeling may be there and you talk about it. You say, brother, I got a funny feeling. I just want to clear this up right now. Brother, I don't have anything. You know, I'm not sure what's going on. Okay. So now you're not tormented by it. Now you're not thinking about it. Now you're not trying to guess what it may be. And then as you're thinking about it, then you develop a complex. You understand what I'm saying? And so God wants us to be free of those things. That's why he gave us the recipe or the instructions to take care of this. So if you get a funny feeling or you see something happen and you say, I don't think that was just right. I don't know why that brother did that. Or you feel a little bit offended. Just go talk to the brother and just say, I felt this way. You know, am I wrong? Is something going on? And then you can address it right there. And if you follow the word, it's always going to come out correctly. Amen. Now he says nothing but just purely the unadulterated Holy Spirit of God among us. That's all we want. Then will the gifts and things will work right and everything will be coming right. And so the devil wants to destroy unity. He's going to try to put things in our mind and try to distract us, try to think a certain thought about a brother or a sister, and it's imaginary. It's not based on reality. It's not based on facts, but yet it can be very powerful. And so we've got to deal with those things. So if we ever get any kind of inkling or thinking about that, then we've got to just deal with it head on, right? And it's not human nature to do that. But we've got to do it nonetheless. And it can be uncomfortable. It can be awkward a little bit. But I guarantee you, if you do it, it'll always turn out right. It always does. Now, moving on a little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so we know that we've had different situations in this congregation when we've had to go to prayer. And the Lord wants us to be coming under the pain and suffering of the other individuals that's going through that. You know, whether it was Brother Andy that was in detention, Sister Anaya, Brother Joseph, Little Joseph, any other situation that, you know, we go into prayer and we want to be like Jesus as far as being touched by the feeling of infirmities. So, you know, if somebody's husband or wife passes away, you know, we think, what would it be like if my husband or wife passed away or my loved one passed away? And so let me try to understand and enter that suffering. Remember, Brother Brandon was able to let the power of God heal through him because he entered the suffering of the people. You remember the Mexican gentleman there? And so he looked at him as his father, how he was in a poor condition. And so when he began to enter that suffering, then he began to be able to help that person. If we're detached totally, we can't help the person. We've got to enter that suffering, and then God's love begins to take over, and then that's how these things get resolved and healed, etc. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so if others are going through those situations, we want to take that burden upon us also and have it upon us. You know, we are busy people and a lot of things are going on and things happen and things. But, you know, when we come down to it, what is the most important thing is Jesus Christ. And who is a part of Jesus Christ? His body, right? And so when part of the body is hurting, we've got to stop ourselves and say, what are we doing? And, you know, with all of our priorities, we got a lot of things going on. But one thing is needful, and that's Jesus Christ. One thing is most important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. If we put God first, everything will take care of itself. Amen. And so we've got to put God foremost, and the only way we can do that easier is to be closer to him. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Verse 28, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So now we see, because when we think of gifts in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 12, we're always thinking of tongues, interpretations of tongues and prophecies, and even thinking of the fivefold ministry and different things. But he brings in these other ones here that maybe we don't look at them close enough and realize that they're there, because helps and governments. So, you know, when we have the local assembly, there's folks that help run the church. I mean, it needs things, you know. It needs some type of, we're not into denominational organization, but God has order, right? And so you have to have people to help do that. You know, deacons help with that. Trustees help with that, with finances and different things. And so the deacons try to help with taking care of things and, you know, physical needs around the church and different things. There's people that can help with whatever it is around the church, you know. You know, the ones that do the baby gifting, or, you know, the ones that help with the food or different things. There's all kinds of things around the church. Just because you're not speaking in tongues or interpretation doesn't mean that you don't have a gift there. It could be a help. And that help is really important. It's like that kidney or that, you know, other organ that's essential. And we can't run things without it, but that's needed. May not get the visibility, but it's needed. Amen. You know, I remember that, you know, trying to, you know, when we try to do things for the young people, say we did the youth banquet, and that's really a time for them to have fellowship with one another and to hear things from the Word of God that's applicable to their age, right? And but when you're trying to do something like that, it takes a little bit of planning. It takes a little bit of organization. Somebody's got to do, you know, set up the tables, set up the chairs. Somebody's got to arrange the food. Somebody's got to get the facility that we can use. You know what I'm saying? And so there's a lot of different things that go along with that. And so we've got to see that, you know, and God puts the unction on our heart, right? And so there's a need there. And, you know, maybe we don't see it, but God puts that upon our heart and says, maybe you should, you know, talk to Brother Mike and say, I feel a burning on my heart to help with this, you know. Or if you feel a burning on your heart to, you know, the church is not doing that much outreach or something like that, but you have a burden on your heart, then you need to bring that up, you know. And, you know, the pastor is you know, the head of the local body. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so, you know, as Christ is the head of the church, there's all different types that we are part of in relation to that. Just like the church, the local body here, there's the pastor that, you know, God calls and God uses, and God gives them the wisdom and equips them properly to lead the congregation. And so he's there to help and oversee and guide and everything. And he's not to do everything either, right? And so when you look at a body, you know, a head does not do all the work, right? The head makes sure that everything is getting done, but the body is the one that's actually doing all that stuff. So if Brother Mike's doing a lot of stuff, then maybe we need to step up and say, hey, I need to help with something. You know, you shouldn't be doing all that stuff, right? So we got helps in the church. And then we have governments, of course, and so everything's got to run, but we need to, and maybe we can delve into this a little bit deeper, and what more is the helps in the governments. But he talks about diversity of tongues. Now, I'm going to read this quote here, 1954, "Whatever he saith unto you, do it. Now, sister, I suppose, not knowing you, we become stranger to each other. I do not know you as far as I know. We're strangers to each other. Are we? I am. I'm here as your brother to try to help you. And God knows I'd do anything that I could to help you. But now, being just a man, well, it's very little I could do. Only I'm your brother in the Lord Jesus. And God has given gifts into the church that we can help one another." And so the Spirit of Christ is to help. Amen. So a brother's down, a sister's down, we try to help that brother or sister. Amen. You know, if somebody looks like they need help, then we try to help that brother or sister. That's the Spirit of Christ. We don't try to kick them down. We don't try to keep them down. We don't try to criticize them. We don't try to do all those different things. And, you know, none of us are perfect, right? And we're all short on something. And so when we look at people, you know, of course, if you're looking for fault, you can find it in each one of us. You find it in me, you can find anyone here, you can find it in the pastor and everyone, because we're all human. But the thing of it is not to look at the fault, but if they need help, then try to help them. Because how are they going to get out of that situation if they're down or they're not doing what's right if you don't try to help them, right? And so, you know, sometimes, and I'm not saying that we do this always, but, you know, a true friend is somebody that doesn't always tell you what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Amen. Now, you know, people have different motivations for saying things, but a true friend with a true Spirit of Christ that wants to see people go in the right direction, they're going, and, you know, we have to develop relationships so that we can talk openly and honestly with each other and to trust one another. But, you know, to say those things that, you know, I think that, you know, you may want to look at this, or you have maybe a little bit of problem here or there. I'm just telling you as a brother, you know, I'm not saying, you know, and you want to do that probably one-on-one. You don't want to do it in front of everybody. But, you know, and people know when you're trying to help them, you know, they sense the Spirit. They, you know, and, you know, people know who you are by your actions, right? You know, Jesus said, you know, if you don't believe me, believe the works, for they are they that testify of who I am. So they may not understand what Jesus said, but then they could see the life that he lived and the actions that he took, and they spoke of what was in his heart and who he was. And so we can see people that they have a true heart and their motivation for Christ by the actions that they take, because that is what God tells us to look at, right? He tells us to look at the fruit. He tells us to look at the action. So Jesus said, don't listen to what I say. Just, you know, if you can't believe that, then look at what I'm doing. Moving on here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And so now as he's transitioning, he's going into 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when he goes into 1 Corinthians 13, we all know what that scripture is. It's talking about the love of Christ. And so there is an unconditional love. And he goes into the description of what that is. It's unselfish, and it's always looking out for the good of others, right? But that spirit, when he says a more excellent way, that spirit is what should motivate the gifts. So every gift that everybody has in here, the motivation for that gift to be used should be love. Amen. Should be Christ. Christ should be the motivation. That's why that inspiration is so important, because it is the inspiration of Christ that drives us to do those things. In Our Hope is in God, 1951, Brother Branham makes this comment, all right, now his Spirit is here. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's moving in his church. Church, you know what's the matter with it? Here's what it is. You're not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Amen. You receive the Holy Spirit and think, well, that's as much as I go. It's not just about salvation only. It's not just even about just receiving the Holy Ghost and I'm done there. It's further than that. He says, well, you're just ready to go work for God then. So you get the Holy Ghost. Now you can start working for God. When you're in, receive the Holy Spirit by believing on Jesus Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit, then you're just a candidate to go to work for God. So if we've got the Holy Ghost and we're sitting around, I'll let you finish that one. Then go to yielding your members to Him. See what He will have you to do. He might have you to preach, sing, testify, pass out tracts, talk to people, bring someone to church. So He didn't just say speaking in tongues and preaching, right? So there's other things. Pass out tracts, testify, sing, talk to people, bring someone to church. All kinds of, see, Brother Mike may not be in those certain areas, you know, to talk to people and to bring them because he's got a lot of other stuff going on, but you're meeting people on a daily basis that other people cannot meet. And you're talking to people and they're seeing your life and things and you're spending time with them. And, you know, you're doing a unique thing that nobody else can do, right? I mean, I don't know how many believers are doing a job, you know, in, say, for instance, somebody's working in the Department of Labor or something like that, or Department of Homeland Security. How many true believers are working in there? But God has placed somebody in there, you know, whether it is, you know, Sister Tina or somebody else, or you're working in a certain organization where there's no believers, other believers than you. But you're showing Jesus Christ to them, so you're doing something that nobody else can do. Nobody else can take your place. He says this, all kinds of gifts and helps that's in the body of Christ. Some are called for one thing, some another. But no matter what you got, how little it is, you say, well, Brother Branham, only thing I can do, I might talk to some people. Well, that might not be very much to you, but put it in the hands of Jesus and see what He will do with it. Amen. Remember, one man in the hands of God, what can God do, right? Brother Branham, he was one man in the hands of God, gave himself completely to God. What did God do with him? I mean, he did tremendous things. I mean, we see it daily and we see the message and the gospel of Jesus Christ going out to all nations and delivering. And, you know, you can go on and on and on about one man in the hands of God. And so, you know, Moses, one man in the hands of God, different ones in the scripture, one man in the hands of God. If God can take at least just a handful of brothers and sisters in His hand, what could He do with that, right? If we can completely yield ourselves, because there's so much power in the Holy Ghost that it can create a world. And so if we can just let that power of God flow through us and unleash that power, what could it do, right? And so we've got to really get ourselves out of the way and completely yield to Him, and then these things can take place. But he says this, like the little fishes that was in the little boy's hand. All he had was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, but look what it did when he put it in the hands of Jesus. We've got to do that, brothers and sisters. Now, gifts are moving through the body and also given to specific individuals. So we're going to talk about those two areas, how remember, Brother Branham talks about how those 9 spiritual gifts, they should be in every local body, right? Isn't that right? And we'll read it over here in a second. So, and he talks about how that flows back and forth within the congregation. He also talks about how people have those individual gifts, and they have those gifts, and they kind of stay with those gifts, you know, gifts of tongue or interpretation of tongues, and he calls those out. So I want just, because we don't want to be ignorant about what the Word is talking about here. So let me read this. 1950, the angel and the commission. In the body of Christ, through all these 9 spiritual gifts, which brings any group of people, any gathering of holiness, people that believe in Christ has the right to have the 9 spiritual gifts. It circles through the body. It's in the body. It's not a praying individual. It'll be on this one here tonight and that one on there the next night. And maybe over here another time. So maybe some people have that denominational thinking that it only sticks with one person, but this is what he says here. This person can pray the prayer of faith tonight, and maybe it's on this one over here the next night. Over on that, it's a gift that's in the body working around to all of you milling through the body. 9 spiritual gifts. Now I'm going to delve into this further because try to make it a little bit more clear. And the body of Christ has 9 spiritual gifts operating in it, and it might be on this woman tonight. Prophecy may never be the rest of her life. I spoke in tongues one time, and I haven't spoken since. It happens that way. It may be on this woman the next night, may be on this man the next time, may be on that one back there the next time. Now, in Question and Answers 1964, there's a question here. It says, can every son of God be so anointed? So we're still continuing on this thought about how the gifts move within the local body. Can every son of God be so anointed till he can do miracles, signs, wonders, or is this at the directions of the Holy Ghost? Here's his answer. Yes, it is at the directions of the Holy Ghost. So it's Christ guiding everything. Amen. So keep that always foremost in our minds. If you are a son of God or a daughter of God, whatever you are, when you have received the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit directs you to do things. I don't have time. I wish I could tell you little stories. Every time I think of it, just have to pass it by. But I think this one will hold just for a minute. So now he's going to explain this, if we can pay attention here. It was down in Meridian, Mississippi. Now, we talked about this last Sunday in kind of cursory form, but I want to, if we can, delve into it a little bit deeper so we can understand what is being said. Many of you oneness people, Brother Bigby was sponsoring my meetings. He's a oneness brother. And one night in a meeting, Billy Paul had went over in the arena and give out prayer cards. Oh, it was pouring down rain, and the people were standing outside with umbrellas and things, and Billy gave out prayer cards. And there was to get me. And while there was he was coming to get him, there was a little lady that sat down in front. And there was another lady walking with a little baby. So you remember this story, but please pay attention because there's some details in here that would be good for you to catch. Trying to keep it quiet. And this little lady sitting there with a little calico dress on, ever what it was a mother too. And she seen the lady, and the Holy Spirit spoke to the woman, something on her heart, go pray for that baby. So the Holy Spirit guiding and directing, moving on this woman's heart. Well, she said, next time she passes, I'll go pray for her. And when she passed again, the lady was holding a prayer card. Oh, she said, I couldn't pray for that baby. Said, Brother Branham will pray for that baby tonight. And who am I to pray for the baby if Brother Branham's going to pray for it? So are we limiting? Is this total scriptural? Now, said, now that was reverent. That was nice, but that can't always be the will of God. Sometimes it's different. It's not always the way we think. The Holy Spirit kept telling her, go pray for that baby. So now it's a burden. It's becoming a burden on her heart. Finally, she thought, that woman will turn me down cold. Knowing she's got that prayer card, she wouldn't want me to pray for that baby. Now, what's working on her right now? Reasoning, right? And so we've got to fight those other senses, you know, the senses that are on the body and the senses in the spirit, and go to that sixth sense. Now, he says, that woman will turn me down cold. Now, knowing she's got that prayer card, she wouldn't want me to pray for that baby. She brought that baby here, not for me to pray for it, but for Brother Branham to pray for it. So the Holy Ghost kept saying, go pray for that baby. Finally, she said, well, to relieve myself, I'll just give her my seat. So she's still reasoning, but she's not totally giving in to what God is telling her to do. She said, honey, one little mother talking to the other one, you got that baby, said, would you come sit down here, take my seat? She said, oh, honey, I don't want to take your seat. I'm trying to keep the baby quiet, but you look so tired and worn. It goes back and forth here. And finally, she gives a seat. And she says, we hope this number will be called. Will I do two? Sister, are you a Christian? Oh, yes. I'm a Christian too. Ever since I've been sitting there, the Spirit of the Lord has been telling me, pray for that baby. Would you give me permission? I know Brother Branham will pray for that baby if it's called, and you just keep holding your card, he'll get it. Said, but if I lay my hands upon the baby and just offer a little prayer to make myself feel better and get out from under that what's calling me, would it offend you? So that's very Christian-like, right? She said, why, certainly not, darling. Pray for the baby. And it was a little blue baby, and so the little lady prayed for it. She gave the lady her seat, and she climbed up into the third balcony and was standing up. Some Christian brother up there, a gentleman good enough to get up and give this lady a seat, so she sat down. About a half hour later, I come into the meeting, spoke for a few minutes, called the prayer cards, and this woman was third or fourth in the line with that baby, and she sat there and she said, oh, thank you, Lord. Now I felt so sorry for that little mother. I believe the baby will get well now. So she's still thinking that she needs a prayer card and she needs to get in touch with Brother Branham. Just a third or fourth, he'll get to that one. Said, thank you, Lord. The little mother sitting up there feeling for that baby. All right. Then when I come up, started praying for the baby, when the lady come up, say, I looked at her and said, now your baby is a blue baby, and you brought it here to be prayed for. And now your name is Miss So-and-so, and you've come from such and such a place. But the baby's already healed. There is a woman who had a burden on her heart by the name of Miss So-and-so. That's sitting up here in the balcony. First one on the end of the fourth row in the third balcony. Prayed the prayer of faith for the baby, and the baby's already healed. Amen. So now you see that this woman, there was an unction, there was a burden that God placed on her heart. God was leading her, and now she's torn because she's fighting her senses about what to do about this. But then the burden is so strong that she has to follow the leading of the Spirit. And when she follows the leading of the Spirit, then that baby's healed. Amen. Not by the prophet, using the prophet, but using another member of the body through the unctioning of the Holy Ghost, right? Amen. So Brother Branham had the same Holy Ghost you and I have. And so when we're led by the Spirit of God, God can do anything, right? Amen. Nothing is impossible. It's just that we're limiting ourselves by our own human thinking. Because if we have the Holy Ghost inside of us, that power is there to move and do anything. Amen. You understand? So don't go below our privileges. Amen. You know, we may not know when that's going to happen, but when we receive the unction, then God can do that. Don't let our senses block that, but just go and follow the leading of the Spirit. Amen. Now he says this. He says, can we all do miracles? Yes. When you're directed by the Holy Ghost to do miracles, go do it. So it's in the body of Christ. It may jump from this person to that person to that person, but the gifts are there in the body. God can use you for a miracle. God can use you for a healing. Because it's the Holy Spirit directed. Now, if that woman wouldn't have carried out what God told her, perhaps there'd have been a rebuke in the Spirit to her, you see, and she'd have disobeyed God. Always, if you are a Christian and something is persuading you to do something, we're talking about the Holy Ghost here, go do it. Go do it. Don't doubt it. Go do it. There's a couple more things here, and I know I'm running out of time here. He says, see, Christian friends, anybody will pray for you. The gift of healings in the church, everybody could have it. It could be on one, then the other. There's 9 spiritual gifts in the church. God recognizes that. If you feel led to go pray for somebody, go do it. That's if you got the Holy Spirit. God is leading you to do those things. And so, you know, our pastor has laid hands on somebody or a baby or what have you, and the baby was healed, so the gift of healing went to the pastor. And then that person was healed. God can do the same thing out in the hallway. Somebody needs a prayer, and Brother Israel's out there, and then he prays the prayer of faith. He feels the unction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. prays a prayer of faith, and that person's healed. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, I'm going to skip through, but there's something going on with the prayer. Put my hands on him. Go get well in Jesus' name. I believe he get well. Sure, I believe God has gifts all working all over the church everywhere. I believe that the gifts of healings in the church don't have to be a preacher even. Just be a lay member. Anybody feels led to go pray for somebody, go do it. That's the gift of healing working in you. So you feel led to do it, and you say, I'm not a minister, I'm not a, you know, whatever, and I don't feel like, you're going by your senses. You're going by your own thinking. If God is leading you to do it, go do it. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the words of life. Oh, Lord, we don't want our own thinking, we want truth, oh, Lord. And the truth only comes from you, O Lord, that sets us free, breaks chains, O Lord, delivers in different things. Lord, you are in the chain breaking business. You are in the setting prisoners free business, O Lord Jesus. And by the scripture, what it says, let the truth set us free, O Lord. Because we know that when the Spirit of God is unleashed, there is nothing that cannot be done for the people of God, O Lord Jesus. So help us, dear Father, to get that understanding, get that truth, O Lord Jesus, and so that you can flow through us, O Lord. Help us to yield ourselves to you more and more and be led by the Spirit of God, dear Father. Lord Jesus, let unity grow within the body of Christ, O Lord Jesus, and so that we can allow you to have your will done in our lives. Lord, bless the service, the song service, the preaching of the word. Oh, Father, have your way, dear Lord Jesus. Have free reign and free course amongst your people, dear Father. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Praise